So welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, the realest in the room. And we're going to talk again about The Mandalorian, the third episode. We're going to go to the man who one day saw God suffering from hater vision. He said that he had a cure, had a K to hit him. So, Big Mike, what did you think of the third episode of The Mandalorian?
Just four words. This is the way. This is the way you do Star Wars. This is the way you do everything moving forward. This is only three episodes in. I told you last time, I didn't think it'd get better. I was in here like a kid on a Saturday morning.
And tonally is a different episode from the second one. This one becomes John Wick.
That dude was flying and gave him the salute. I was just yeah.
That was Iron Man, yo. I think that actually might have been John Favreau. But go ahead, Mike.
I'm blown away at how good this show is. Every Friday morning now, I'm giddy to get up, run downstairs, and cut on Disney Plus just so I can see this damn show. Oh, my God. This was so good. You saw me texting. You saw the gif. That was literally me. I looked just like Jonah Hill. I was in here like, someone else has had to have seen this by 9 o'clock in the morning. Because what the hell? This shit is so amazing. Feige, just get Favreau to do the movie, please. I cannot wait for Rise of Skywalker to come out just so we can get this bullshit out the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Man.
Big Mike is having an orgasm.
This makes me want to cosplay again. This show is so damn good. We still got five more episodes to go. Characters we ain't even introduced to yet. I can't talk anymore. Because when I saw the episode, the first thing I said was, Jay, it might be No Nut November, but you about to bust one.
Jay, how did you feel about the third episode of Disney Pluses?
What the hell?
The Mandalorian. Go ahead, James.
It was hard to watch that episode without tearing up, man.
Oh my God, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, I did say that. I don't think anyone truly understands the disappointment that I have with Star Wars.
You are like, the largest and biggest Star Wars fan next to God.
It was rough. Keith mentioned in the previous podcast, it didn't feel right for me to not like Star Wars.
It's like me not liking Star Trek.
It just didn't feel right. I'm really not looking forward to Rise of the Skywalker or whatever it's called. I don't even know what it's called. I think it's called that. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yes, it is called Rise of the Skywalker.
But
that doesn't make sense.
Now, I am so geeked for Star Wars again. It feels so good. It feels so good.
Yeah, it does feel good. I mean, I'm just fucking pumped.
Got a good game out, too. What's going on here?
Yeah, Keith said he just beat it.
Oh, he did?
All I can say, James, is that there's going to be a point where you're going to want to talk to me. And I'm available at any time. You're going to get to that point, and it's going to be at the end of the game. You're going to know what I'm talking about. Gets better. Trust me. It gets better.
I'm just so amazed by everything in this episode. Like you said, it was a totally different episode. It was action-packed. I mean, he was getting it in. I was actually surprised it was so action-packed because I was thinking like, damn, so what are they going to do next? Because the second episode was pretty decent with action. This time, they ramped it up. So, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but fuck Jedi right now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Jedi and Sith, but right now, they're not doing them justice in the movie. So, shit, unless they come out with a good-ass television show like they did for The Mandalorian, then I'm kind of like, done. This is a great episode. I personally didn't have any flaws. I enjoyed it maybe a little bit too much. There was a cleanup on aisle three. So, yeah. Oh. That's all I had to say. I'm kind of speechless. Mike basically said everything.
All right. So, Keith, what did you think of Jon Favreau's The Mandalorian?
I'm glad you put it that way, Barry, because this is Jon Favreau's The Mandalorian. Jon Favreau knows how to tell a damn story. He knows how to craft it. He knows how to put it together. He knows how to execute it. You can tell a lot of emphasis on like inner feelings and turmoils and stuff. But again, you can't see Pedro Pascal's face, but you know exactly what he's going through. Thinking about that little kid, the little baby who saved his life. The moment when he walked down there with his reward and you knew what was about to happen. He was about to get his armor made. It's about to get on. I didn't even think the other Mandalorians were going to talk. But they got us a moment in. It just kept ratcheting up and up and up.
They went straight Klingon on them.
You're weak. And next thing you know, they're whipping out knives. They're not whipping out just knives, dude. They're whipping out vibro knives. It was a good episode. The direction the show is going into is amazing. James, I'm going to disagree with you slightly on something you said, and that is, it's not that they don't need Jedi. And it's not
Jedi.
No. I get what you're saying. It's not that it's that this is a person who understands the Star Wars lore. They know that Jedi and Sith are just image points for good and evil. When you want to look at the gray areas and stuff, it's the smugglers. It's the people in between.
Yeah,
not those who's polar.
If you remember, there was that Star Wars 1313 game that was supposed to come out. This would fit in that universe.
This is sort of that gray area between, you know, good and evil. At the same time, you clearly know that our hero is not going to be some ridiculously evil clown. You know the Empire is bad, but you know that there's some people within it who are trapped in there who are good. It's just the way it was all handled and worked. Carl Weathers, like several things were telegraphed. I knew Carl Weathers was going to be our villain moving forward.
Apollo Creed. If he dies, he dies.
I did not see the Mandalorians coming together like that.
It was straight out of Avengers.
It was straight out epic. I mean, they just came.
And again, I think that was Jon Favreau, the person saluting him. I want to say that might have been him.
This was so good that I ended up reinstalling Star Wars The Old Republic.
Wow. And I'm
currently leveling up my bounty hunter.
That's actually funny. That's actually funny as hell. I was even thinking about doing that too.
I ended up cranking it right up and just jumping right into it. Not much more I can say. To James's point, I am excited about Star Wars all over again. It felt off for me to be hating on it so much, to put so much bile in one person's hand, kind of lay the blame at J.J. Abrams. But honestly, the blame needs to go to Kathleen Kennedy. Whoever in Disney, there had to have been somebody in Disney. I'm assuming it had to have been Bob Iger. I knew he put his foot on EA's neck and told him to quit pissing off the fans. Somebody put their foot down and said, what you're doing is not right. Bring it over to Marvel Cinematic creative teams. Jon Favreau letting him into that toolhouse, just genius. And I'm pumped for Obi-Wan Kenobi's show.
Again, like I said, that the episodes totally have been different. The first episode established the story, had a little bit of action towards the end. Second episode was more about the journey to get back to collect his reward. And this one was essentially him becoming John Wick. The whole Assassin's Guild turning on him. Probably say that the director, this one is Deborah Chow. She's done a lot of TV stuff. So she's done some of the Netflix Marvel shows, a couple episodes of Jessica Jones, unfortunately Iron Fist, some episodes of Man in the High Castle. She's also slated to do the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So she also did
on the entire series.
Yeah, Fear of the Walking Dead. I mean, she has a good resume of stuff. With this one, turns up the action. Again, I kind of compared it to John Wick, where John Wick just says, like, all right, well, I don't like this. Let me turn my back on everybody. Everyone's coming after him. That's kind of what's going to set the pace for this show. And little baby Yoda is going to be okay because you got the baddest dude with you. So you'll be fine. I knew as soon as the other Mandalorians came down and helped. No, James is probably going to just go crazy.
Yeah, I did.
But
I've been talking about this shit for years. Years. I got laughed at. Remember that, Keith? Huh? You doubted me. Huh? You remember that? You don't? I bet you don't. But like I said.
No, I agree. You're right. I completely.
I've been saying this for years and nobody never listened to me.
But not again, bad. This was a great episode, well-directed, well-choreographed action. I mean, I would say it was a little predictable, but you knew something had to happen. There's a point where the Mandalorian turns over the bounty. He's about to pull off, and he's just like, oh, no, I can't let things happen like this. Little dude needs me. He just wrecks shop. And every tool in his arsenal, he uses fire. Like
amazing. That whole sequence was amazing.
He should have destroyed him.
I mean, he's cutting down stormtroopers. He's cutting down other assassins. As I said before, the way that the Mandalorians acted, it's kind of like the Klingons, more or less. But this is a great episode. Great episode. So let's get the scores. Big Mike, what score would you give this episode?
I already know. You got to ask me. This is a 10. Easily. I'm beyond amped for Friday. Just bring it. And Deborah Chow, if this is any inclination to what the hell you gonna do, man, I'm looking forward to Obi-Wan now. I really don't need the movies anymore. You can do a damn mall show. Just do shows on Disney Plus just like this. Yep. I'm good.
All right. So, Jay, what score?
So, I gave the last one like an 11. I'm giving this a 13. I seriously thought, okay, it's going to go down. It's not going to be as good, but it's still going to be good, but, you know, it's not going to live up to the precedent that is set for me, but it has, and I'm shocked, but yet I ain't still a scorned Star Wars fan. I'm holding myself at bay.
I mean, 2 months ago, no one was really looking for any of this stuff. It was like, oh God, like making TV shows out of Star Wars. This one works. So, Keith, what score?
Well, Tom, acting was great. You know, at the edge of my seat, even though I knew what was going to happen, but it was kind of like every time he made a decision, the minute he committed to rescuing Baby Yoda, I was like, go, this is it. This is it. Do it. And then he gets in there and he just destroys him. I'm just like, yeah. You know, you kind of feel bad for stormtroopers. I'm kind of thinking like, damn, do stormtroopers just suck? But no, I'm going to side with the fact that the Mandalorian is just that good. So I'm pumped for that and pumped for where the direction is taking.
I'm going to give this a 10 also. Again, if you look at this like a Western, you have the loner comes to town and he's shooting his way out of the town. That's what happens in this episode. And he does a whole bunch of shooting. Action was well choreographed. Again, it was well directed. Pedro Pascal, through a helmet, is able to emote, be able to feel what he's thinking. It works. It 100% works. And give me more. So I assume maybe the fourth episode, some big stuff happens. Because there's only 8 episodes. But yeah, I mean, big stuff happened in this episode. So it can only get better. That is the Beast Gang Podcast. Keep watching The Mandalorian because James about to bust one. All right.